Okay, how are you?
Good. How are you,
Polly? When does it start?
Well, we'd like to do a little intro, but I was going to ask you, since your intro is so iconic, would you go ahead and do us the honors? Hit us with the good
old
Polly
C. Is this live?
It's live.
Well, hello.
Hello. It's Vegas Polly C on Honor Up Podcast, guys. Polly, thanks for giving us your time. We're obviously here at your taco shop.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the space.
Well, our taco shop. Although Jose the taco guy is not here. I don't know where he is.
He's not here, man.
Well, how come nobody told Jose the taco guy we were here? Nobody told him? All right.
But it's all right.
Okay, that's my brother. That's my partner.
Absolutely, okay. Man. Jose's a good guy. He's actually been on the podcast before.
So, oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
We've sat down. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. But yeah, so obviously recently in the news, there's been a little bit of scrutiny involving yourself.
Yes.
I think the people are dying to know, so maybe we can break down the timeline of that a little bit.
Which thing?
Involving a certain extinct creature.
Oh, you want to talk about the dinosaur?
The dinosaur, yes, sir.
Well, she worked for me for about 8 months back in 2021, 2022. When I met her, I was just so impressed that she had 199,000 followers. And I did business with her for 8 months. And it was, you know, it was rough. But after that, when we parted ways, everything was fine. But about 6 months ago, I came to Las Vegas. And once I started talking about her, like, everything went down the toilet.
Okay.
But the actual thing that I did wrong, because I think people need to know what I did wrong, is I did not tell the Mohegan Sun that the contest that she gave me, that I was putting it on my app, because I was embarrassed by the low ratings on my app.
Okay.
Instead of her, when the Mohegan Sun went to her and said, "Hey, is this true that there's an app?" Instead of her saying, "Yes, I work for the app," she said, "I don't know anything about the app. I don't even like contests." She had what's called an amygdala meltdown. And I never spoke to her really after that again. And I rage texted her after that, which she has copies of. And she put something up on YouTube just completely attacking me.
Right.
And she says that she has the receipts. She has this, that, the other thing. But it would be like if all of a sudden Jose the taco guy said, "What taco shop?
Right.
We don't own a taco shop. Where's our taco shop?" It was like that. It was such a blunt shot right in the face that, you know, I don't think that the dinosaur could be trusted. But that's my opinion. Now, she served me with a cease and desist lawsuit that says I can't use the word dinosaur anymore.
Right.
Meanwhile, ridiculous. She put dinosaur up on her page.
Right.
You know, I'm a free speech guy. You know, I believe in America. I believe in freedom. So if she serves me with papers, the whole thing's just going to keep going. She's going to waste $25,000 on the lawyer. I'm going to waste $25,000 on the lawyer. But all the stuff that she's posted, it's all completely refutable. So I don't really worry about it.
Right. That's where I think the people have a little bit of a difficulty understanding, myself included.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, the timelines don't make sense. And also her trying to get you to not speak about it doesn't make sense.
She worked for me and I was paying her $4,000 a month.
Right.
And she said to me, I swear to God, my mother, go up to Mohegan Sun and do this deal for us.
Yeah.
I'll do it for nothing, she said. When I got up there impromptu, because I saw how hot they were to get her.
Right.
I said, "Give us $10,000. They went, "Okay, we'll give you $10,000. So we sent a contract for $10,000 that we had every intention of splitting. The woman worked for me. Why would I go up to Connecticut, right, and not get a contract when she works for me?
Right.
Then they issued a contract. So we made a contract and she made a contract. Not her. Mohegan Sun made a contract. Now she says there was two contracts and I was trying to steal her $10,000. Why would I steal her $10,000 when she works for me for $4,000 a month?
Right.
Why would you steal? Think about this. Why would you steal from your employee? In other words, that would be like me going over to Leo right now and going in his pocket.
And taking his
who
money.
Who works for me and right. taking his... It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But yet she just keeps insisting on that. People have to remember the power dynamic. She worked for me. I didn't work for her. She right. worked for me. I was paying her.
Right.
She was on my time. So of course I'm going to give the Mohegan Sun a contract. And of course the Mohegan Sun gave us a contract.
Absolutely.
But where I was wrong is I was embarrassed and I did not tell them about the app. But where was I going to put the contest?
Exactly.
And come out of my tuchus?
Right.
The contest had to go somewhere. It had to go to the public somehow.
Absolutely.
And this is the great crime. But she continues to just completely and totally scam Las Vegas as far as I'm concerned. She's going around with this bed bug light, you know, and this black light. I have a question for her. A question for you and a question for everybody.
Sure.
Let's just say she goes into a $4 billion hotel. Let's make it the one that she loves, you know, because she loves the Fontainebleau.
Right.
And she does a room tour. And she goes in there with her black light, And she goes in there with her bed bug inspection kit, and she pulls down the bed sheets, and just accidentally, no one's fault at all, because it can happen. The guest who was at the Fontainebleau the night before accidentally brought in bed bugs from their luggage. And those bed bugs got loose in that bed, right? Now, we all know the Fontainebleau's struggling already.
Right.
And we all know that she's working and talking, and she's great friends with the Fontainebleau, right? When she pulls down that sheet, because she happens to be in the Fontainebleau, is she going to actually show those bed bugs?
Is she going to
take down a property that's already struggling?
Absolutely not.
Are 1,000 people going to get laid off because bed bugs happen by accident? It's no one's fault. They're in every hotel room in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
And it can happen. Anybody can come in with luggage and the bed bugs might come up. But her with her black light and her with her inspection, this is a very destructive policy.
Absolutely.
And going around with a black light. Now, let's just say somebody had a milkshake in a hotel room, right? An 8-year-old kid. And he accidentally threw the milkshake against the wall. And then she comes in with a black light. Oh, I'm so insulted. There's a splooge on the wall. She's going to post that and cost people jobs and cost the hotels revenue. And what in God's name is she doing?
Yeah.
I want someone to tell me what in God's name she's doing. So you can cast aspersions at Vegas Policy all day long. And I do the financials on these places, and I'm very negative on the financials. But the hotels are still operating. They're still serving people food. Nobody has to be afraid of anything. Nobody's afraid of financials.
Right.
But she's creating a fear crisis. She's making people nervous.
Absolutely.
Do you know why she's making people nervous?
Why?
Because that's how she's comfortable, nervous. That's why she's telling people, I might have to get a gun because Vegas Policy might attack me. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I can't walk on the strip anymore. Hey, Anne-Marie, 25 years. Did I ever smack you around once? Never. I never smacked Anne-Marie around in 25 years. And didn't you deserve it a few times? Nah, you didn't deserve it. You see what she's doing? She's putting all the fear. She operates on fear. You should fear Vegas Policy. You should fear the bed bugs. You should fear the splooge on the wall. This is the kind of bullshit. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep talking.
No, go ahead.
This is the kind of bullshit that just makes me crazy. Go ahead.
I think that's what... That's cheap content.
Cheap content.
It's the same thing, you know, if you go on mainstream media, they do the same thing. It's
right.
Just fear.
If it bleeds, it leads, right? Come on.
That's exactly.
Vegas is about having fun.
Exactly.
How the hell did she interject this? I'll tell you right now. What's today's date? March 27th?
Yes.
She's probably going to see this podcast or society's going to see this podcast or the people in, I don't know, you know, whatever your viewers are going to see this podcast. I guarantee that this Karen stops with the bed bugs now. She's not gonna do it anymore. Does anybody really care about the bed bugs? Is that what we're trying to do? We wanna get people laid off because there was an accident?
Right.
And I think She's gonna stop. You'll see. Hopefully she stops.
Like
you said, it's cheap content.
It's absolutely cheap content.
Cheap content.
And I think doing something, because you can compare both of them, and a lot of her supporters will say the same thing because you talk about the financials. But the financials is
a reality.
Absolutely.
It's not cheap content.
Absolutely.
It's not gonna scare people away from
absolutely.
The property.
That's what I was gonna say. One is constructive criticism, you know, criticizing a casino for the way it's structuring its financials.
Right.
The other one is cheap content going inside. And the other thing, too, is how much time does it take you to do the deep dive, to do your due diligence on a financial side compared to just walking into a room with a black light? You know, it takes 3 minutes to make that video. So
it's really disgusting if you really think about it.
Absolutely. But you're a very interesting person, and you're someone I've been wanting to sit down with for a long, long time.
Okay.
And I want to break down your story as Paul Contino before you became Vegas Pauly C.
Okay, so I'm a total nerd.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm socially awkward. I never really talk to people. I always did my stuff in my basement, reading the numbers, reading stuff about Vegas, reading about gambling. I am a compulsive gambler. I have a gambling problem. There's no doubt about it. I have it. Somewhat under control, but not really. You know what I mean? Like at any minute, I've struggled my whole life, and I don't really have any substantial assets because I've been really stupid with my money. And I started 2 years ago to try and promote the comp wallet because I didn't feel like she was doing a great job.
Okay.
She was the first 4 months, but it was I was giving her $4,000 a month.
Yeah, it's not a lot. That's not a little bit of money.
In March of 2022. Now, this is my recollection. She stopped putting my contests on her main page because she got the finger-licking food idiots.
Yeah.
And once you got the finger-licking food idiots with all the snobby food tours, you know, $1,000 for a food tour. This is her thing.
Yeah.
My thing is a $7 breakfast. My thing is a $3 taco. Her thing, if you like it, and plenty of people do, is a $1,000 steak food tour, right?
Right.
Once she got that, she actually told me at the time that she was going upscale, that she wanted to deal with a better clientele. And I'm like, you know, 99% of the population is living week
right,
to week.
Exactly.
Now, I'm living week to week. 99% of the people, like, that's such a small percentage. Not only that, Karen, but you're not that person. Like, look at me. Look, you see a watch, you see a ring, you see these jeans?
Yeah.
I had the same jeans on for a week. You know, I check them, I say, you know what? Anne-Marie, I've had these jeans on for about a week, would you say? Because they get nice and loose, you know what I mean? This I got free, this was a comp.
Nice.
Right, okay. I got it free, you gave it to me. Well, was it free?
It's free to him, he got comped.
You know, I'm not trying to project a regular guy image.
Right.
But I'm too lazy to be anything other than like a regular guy, you know, with a regular shirt, regular car.
Well, it would be one thing if you went out of your way to portray this upscale image and go on these $1,000 food tours rather than just be yourself. Right?
Dude, I'm barely surviving. Yeah. You know, I mean, these guys are working hard at this taco shop, but it's not easy.
No, absolutely.
You know,
not.
You have all kinds of bills here. You get bills for workers' comp, insurance, electric, the rent,
payroll.
And it's a struggle, but you know what? That's America.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm so happy to be involved with this family because they are so talented and they're so hardworking.
Absolutely.
And you're going to see, we're going to get a second place soon.
Absolutely.
And a third place
it.
And a fourth place because the Adabata is, I never had it my whole life.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you a funny story. This is the God's honest truth. And Jose the Taco Guy knows this.
Yeah.
I never tried the food, but I gave the money. I never
before
tried
you even try the food.
Let me tell you what happened. I was in the airport and I had just landed. It was a Saturday night. And I said, Tacos El Güero, we're going to be opening. And the food is, and I was on the live and I couldn't lie. And I said, holy shit, I'm just about to tell you how great the food is.
You've never
had
it.
And I never had the food. So I told everybody, I said, I've never had the food. It was Saturday. I landed Saturday about 7 o'clock in the afternoon. But that night at 11 o'clock, so I said, come on. That night around 11 o'clock, we went to the backyard. We went to El Güero's backyard, which, you know, it was quite the setup in his backyard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Mahi had the tacos, and I had the tacos, and Mahi's sister was there, and she's a foodie. You know, she knows what she's doing. And we all went like this. And I said, oh, thank God. Thank God they're delicious.
Right, yeah.
Because if they were garbage at that point,
I had already invested tens of thousands of dollars.
That's a funny story, though. That's a God's honest truth.
Yeah,
and that's
crazy.
The way I do business.
Right.
It's like shoot first and ask questions later.
Interesting strategy.
Yeah. It's a stupid strategy, but we're doing okay here. We're doing okay.
Yeah. And I believe you're definitely going to get a second location. I mean, the food speaks for itself. The work ethic of everybody here speaks for itself.
Well, we had a second location all lined up for Stephanie in 215.
Yeah.
And supposedly Cookie Crumble took it. And then we had another location lined up. We're still working on that one. And then I have a strip location, hopefully.
That would be insane.
We're working on that.
Yeah.
But it's tough. You know, Vegas is not easy.
No, absolutely not.
You know, you're on the grind here in Vegas.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yep.
You know firsthand, right?
Definitely.
Is it a grind out here or what?
It's a grind for sure.
Grind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why when anybody talks about Baby Khaled, I don't know where he is, I always say, you got to respect the grind.
Absolutely.
You know that he's grinding. He's out there
24/7,
grinding.
24/7, yeah.
So, like, people like, do you know Baby Khaled? I'm like, I do. And I respect the grind.
Absolutely.
God's honest. And you too. I know you're out there grinding. I
appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but what was your childhood like? When did you know you were a numbers guy? Because I feel like you figured that out pretty early.
So I was born like this. So when I was 3 years old, I would ask my, I'd say, Mommy, can you please give me the adding machine? And my mother would give me all we had back then. You've got to realize this is 1968, 1969. We had the adding machine. And you would add on the adding machine, and then you would pull the crank on the side. And then the adding machine came with a paper that had all numbers on it. And I actually wrote from 1 to over 10,000. Like, I wrote 1, 2, 3, 4. I was about 4 years old.
Wow.
And I think there's an interesting story here. And I'd like to give old man advice to you and to anybody who watches this. If you see your child doing something weird like that, something unusual, this is really true.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that child.
Yeah.
Like, there's a pain there. Like, why is this child sitting in a corner writing from 1 to 10,000? Why is this child obsessed with the adding machine? Now, I found out later that I was born with a genetic mutation, and in order for me to feel comfortable, I have to be in the numbers. Because the little bit of dopamine that's in my brain sits in where my numbers sit in my brain. Like if you were to do a brain scan of me, we found all this out recently. So if you have a child that's doing something unusual, strange, the child is just trying to get comfortable. It's trying to comfort itself. So it's something that you need to address.
Sure.
And that's what I give us. That's my old man advice.
That's interesting because I read something, it was about a few weeks ago. You know, when you have food cravings, when you crave certain things, it means your body's deficient in certain vitamins. So that reminded me a little bit of that.
Of course, right. But the brain works the same way.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Well, ultimately, I think that's where everything comes from, right? Your brain is telling your body that you need certain nutrients or vitamins. You know, being intrigued by the numbers, I heard you talk about that on the podcast you did with the Plaza, Hotel. About the dopamine deficiency. You talked about how it's a fairly recent discovery and how most of the people who have it are really suffering.
So let me talk about as much as I know. Now, you have to realize that, unfortunately, this is a very sad thing. In today's world, they don't even want to know. Like, if they really wanted to know, in other words, if you were to take, and I mean, I know for Atlantic City, I knew the exact number of homeless people in Atlantic City. It was 300.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the exact number of homeless people in Las Vegas, but it may be 6,000. If you were to study all 6,000 of those people, you would find that the vast majority of them have some sort of a problem like what I have. And they just, like, you have to understand, the only reason I'm here and why I'm very lucky is that I had a privileged upbringing. So even though I'm a damaged toy, and even though I have issues, because I had a privileged upbringing, I've been able to, you know, make it to 59 and still kind of have it together.
Right.
The poor people, I mean, if there are people born with my genetic mutation and they're born underprivileged, dude.
It's rough.
I can't see them making it.
Yeah.
So that CCAATT mutation that I have, it was only since they decoded the genome in 2010. Could they even know that it existed?
Absolutely not.
There was a help group for people with my mutation on Yahoo.
Yeah.
It was called Double Cat because CCAATT.
Yeah.
It was called the Double Cat Help Group. And unfortunately, Yahoo Group shut down. But I swear to you that every person in that help group was either a crackhead, an alcoholic, a compulsive gambler, had just gotten out of jail. I mean, they were extremely deficient people who had the same exact mutation as me, but maybe they didn't have a privileged upbringing. So, you know, wow, what a disaster. It's almost like you have to have a deficiency, and then also you have a rough upbringing.
Yeah, it's a lethal combination.
It's a lethal combination.
Yeah.
So you have children out there that are 8 and 9 and 10 years old, right? And they're acting out, and they have problems, and they can't focus, and they have the world's worst ADHD. If we knew that they had, if they would test them for CCAATT, what I have, there are solutions for it. There's one drug, it's $100,000 a year. It's called, it sounds like Koval, but it's something else. Yeah. I always think of Koval, the street, but it's not Koval. But L-methylfolate helps a lot. But the point is, it's not just me. So there's a lighter version of what I have called MTHFR. And I call it the motherfucker gene. But it's called MTHFR. And it also creates a deficiency in dopamine. And it creates a tremendous number of alcoholics, a tremendous number of compulsive gamblers. I mean, think about it. What is the Las Vegas Strip?
Yeah, it's the biggest dopamine surge.
Right,
yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About. Absolutely. So, you know, Jonathan asked me, he said, why did you have this obsession with Las Vegas from such a very young age? I was chasing the dopamine. Yeah, and absolutely. The people that come here, they're chasing a deficiency. I saw a sheriff, and this is what the sheriff said. He was a smart guy. He said, you show me any addiction, and I will show you a lack of dopamine. He was giving a speech.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. He really just summed it up
right
there.
That's powerful. And I wonder how extreme the shift is because, you know, we can compare gambling in a casino to maybe these, like, Wall Street guys who are cranking numbers, you know, nonstop, 20 hours a day. I wonder, you know.
Well, you know, some of them go out of control and lose billions of dollars.
Absolutely. But I wonder how much of them might have that deficiency as well where their body is just constantly searching for that surge of dopamine. They're like, this is the job for me.
And, you know, and when you think about alcoholics, I'm sure it might be dopamine, but there's some deficiency there. If you think about people who will actually give up their lives for a crack pipe or for speed, there's some deficiency there that's not being addressed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really believe that their parents did that to them. I don't really believe that society did that to them. I believe that they have a deficiency that's not being addressed. That's my personal belief.
Absolutely. And what else besides maybe the drugs, or do you know anything else that might help with that deficiency?
So have you found for your life? I got on the marijuana in 2011, and I was on it every day for 8 years. Someone introduced it to me, and I did it, and I was like, whoa, this is the greatest thing ever. And I stayed on it for 8 years, yeah. And then it turned on me. And I say to myself, well, there's millions of people doing the marijuana, and it's legal now in, I don't know, 30 states. And there must be so many people that are also going through what I went through in 2019. I was paralyzed. I could not move. I was on the couch. I didn't know what it was. And I couldn't get any more dopamine out of the damn marijuana. After 8 years on it, it lost its efficacy.
Right.
And I didn't know that that's why I was paralyzed on the couch. I thought it was, I didn't know, I thought it was my living situation. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
So I got off of it, and then I rose up from the couch, and then I got back on it, and I went down. So I went down three times. The third time I went down, I was playing blackjack at the ball. I had found a half of a marijuana joint in my closet. Yeah. Not in my closet, in my drawer. And I smoked it, and I went to the Bellagio. I was at the table playing blackjack for $300 a hand. I'm looking at the dealer. I'm looking at the chips. I'm looking at the money. I honestly did not care if that dealer came across the table and slashed my throat. I just didn't even want to be alive. And I said to myself, I am never going to smoke this marijuana again. So, but I wonder, out of the 30 or 40 million people who smoke it regularly, or 20 million, there must be 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 people that went through what I went through.
Absolutely.
And my advice is, when it turns on you, man, get off of it.
Yeah.
Get out. Get off of it.
Yeah.
So that was my other thing that I was doing. The other thing that's great is working out. Working out is incredible. You know, long distance walking. I still do the gambling, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. What are your favorite games to play?
I like to play games where the house has a very low edge, which is basically blackjack and craps. Right. You really can't. Because I'm trying to get the most amount of time out of my medicine.
Right.
I call it medicine. It says on CompWallet, it says I gamble for medical reasons. People think that's funny. People think that's a joke.
But it's true.
It's true. Wow. I really do gamble for medical reasons.
Right. Because Baby Khaled explained this to me. We were having a conversation kind of around the same time we first met.
Right.
And he told me, he's like, when I gamble, he's like, I don't go there to win money. And
right.
To me, you know, I'm 25, but I don't know. I never heard that before. And I was like, what do you mean you don't gamble to win money? And I was like, right. I thought that was the whole allure to gambling, is you go there in the hopes that you can turn, you know, $100 into $1,000. Right. He's like, no, I go there because I'm going to spend that money anyways. But to me, gambling is fun.
Right.
So I guess to you, that's even more so true because you're looking for that dopamine. So when you say I'm looking to make my money last longer, it's like you don't even care to win. You're just there for the
dopamine. And this is why, and this is the reason why I get so outraged about things like triple zero roulette, 6 to 5 blackjack, slot machines that hold 9%.
Yeah.
Because there are people all over Las Vegas that need this medicine. Right?
Right.
And this is crazy, but I really mean this. It would be like if you were charging diabetics $1,000 for a vial of insulin.
Right.
They need it, right? But it's not cheap anymore. So when they've raised the price of gambling by having the 6 to 5 blackjack and the 3 zeros and all the other nonsense that the casinos are playing, there's a percentage of the population, and I don't know what that percentage is, that they're raising their medical costs.
Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds so ridiculous.
But it makes sense.
The God's honest truth.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
And how many of those people might turn to something even more harmful? Because
they're getting wiped out so quickly with the 6 to 5 blackjack or the 3 zeros or whatever it is.
That's insane. Well, I never thought about it that way, but that's crazy.
Nobody does, but it really is true.
Yeah.
You know, if you live with a problem or a situation or a deficiency, or if you're hurting and you get old enough and you've really analyzed it and you've lived in it, you become someone who can give advice to people who, you know, are suffering.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's where people don't understand, you know, they'll run to the first person that tells them what they agree with instead of sitting down and thinking about it and listening to someone who's, you know, been in this for years, you know?
You know, I was on a podcast with a bunch of guys who were gamblers. They were living up in Ascaya. And the guy was, like, telling me a similar story. And I said, you probably have the same deficiency.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
When you moved to Vegas and you started making content, well, specifically when you started Casino Comp Wallet and you know, doing your live walks on the strip and everything, what was that journey like?
Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. So I made a couple of stupid videos. One, my dog was licking my head. Just the dumbest stuff ever. And I got 10,000 or 12,000 or 17,000 views. And then I ramped it up a little bit, and then I included Las Vegas in it, and then I included a little more. And, you know, just very, you know, throwing spaghetti against the wall kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I always tell this story because it's just so, it's so in my, you know, my mind. It's so front of mind when it comes to my journey with the content.
Yeah.
My girlfriend Mahi said to me, the algorithm loves you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, I'm not Brad Pitt. Right. So I'm thinking to myself, why does the algorithm, like, I have no idea why the algorithm even likes me. Like, to me, I should have 200 views and people should scroll past me and be like done with me. Like, that's my self-perception.
Right.
So when she said that the algorithm loved me, I said, well, all right. Well, you know, there's something here, maybe. I was in an elevator at the Wynn, and I had just done a live, and I got back into the elevator, and there was a female executive there, and I remember she said to me, hello, and I said, hi, how are you? And she said, are you on the radio? And I said, no. She said, well, you have a radio voice. And I said, really? Because in my head, no one ever told me this. In my head, it's whiny, it's nerdy, it's awkward. You know, no girl's gonna want me. There's a lot of negativity in my head because, and it's justified because I didn't go to the prom. You know, I tell people I was on eHarmony for 10 years and not one woman, you know, not one woman spoke to me. 10 years I was on eHarmony. You know, I remember being young and thinking, wow, who am I gonna go out with? I've like, you know, there's, you know.
Yeah.
So I've lived all this. So I accepted it as a fait accompli that I don't want to use the word loser. I'm not looking for self-pity.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, I'll find my own journey. I'll live in, I love documentaries. I love numbers. I love gambling. I love the casinos. I love Las Vegas. So I'll live my solitary life where I need to be. But the content creation and the, you know, TikTok and Instagram and all the stuff that I do, it's seized my life. And it's changed my journey. You know, there's a famous poem, you know, two roads divided.
I took the road less traveled.
Right. So somehow I ended up on this other road. I don't know where it's going to go, but this is what I like. It's a great substitute for gambling. Because now, you know, I went in a Lambo today. A company gave me a Lambo free. So they don't pay me. They just give me the Lambo for a couple of hours. And I go out in a Lambo. Now I have to post a video for them. And I'm nervous. I don't want the video to fall on its face. I don't want to do a bad job for them because they invested in Vegas Pauly C. And so I feel I owe them. Even though I don't take any money, they still contacted somebody, said, bring me. And a Lambo's an expensive vehicle. And I probably put 30 miles on it. We didn't get crazy. But I guarantee that that costs $10 a mile because it's a Lambo or $20 a mile. So they invested $500 of their time, their energy, their effort in me. And so I'm nervous that I do a good job for them. So the gamble is, how is this video going to do?
Right.
So I'm so happy because the video has 100,000 views on Instagram. So now I don't have to have any guilt. And this is why I don't take money. Because if I go somewhere and I take money.
You feel like you're gambling with someone else's money?
I feel like I'm gambling. Wow, you're good. You go. Now I see why you have a podcast.
There you go.
Now you make me feel like I'm talking too much. Well, I should let you talk.
Well, I wanted to wrap that story up because it's interesting. When that lady, well, first, when she told you have the voice for radio, I thought you were going to say she was going to tell you you had the face for radio. I was like, wow, that would have been harsh, right?
But I do get insulted all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
About my looks, and it's very painful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
You know, I was born with no pigment in my skin. You know what I mean? I have a long face. I got a huge nose. You know, but what am I going to do? Kill myself?
Nah, definitely not.
You know what I mean?
The people love you. The people love you. You know, one thing I harp about all the time is the difference between having a lot of followers and having like a really close-knit community. I would say almost like a culture.
Right.
Right. And you, like, people know you. You're Vegas Pauly C. You know, they're in the live. It's the same people interacting all the time. Right. They know all your sayings, your inside jokes.
I have tremendous gratitude for that.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And, you know, it's crazy because I think the thing that does it is the East Coast accent. The New York accent, people love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's reminiscent of a time where, you know, that was everything you heard on the radio.
Right.
combined with your ability to just be blunt, honest, and keep it 100% real with the people, your insight on the numbers, the casinos, and just, you know, people know when you go to the casinos to gamble, to make content, and when you go there because you genuinely like being there. And I think you're someone that genuinely likes being there. That's why your word holds so much
weight.
Well,
I heard a saying once, and it's really true, and it's don't believe your own bullshit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to get all crazy, and, you know, I actually... So what happens when you're live is a lot of times people will compliment you. It's very uncomfortable.
Right.
So I started saying, feed me, Seymour.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know the plant at Little Shop of Horrors, they actually have a slot machine where the plant goes like this and it goes, feed me, Seymour. Because that's what my ego feels like.
Right.
It feels like the plant from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
So whenever the stuff starts to get like too complimentary, I'm uncomfortable because that's not my life. That's not who I am. So I have that default, and we all laugh at that. And
yeah.
Most of the stuff on my show, or I should say all of it, and they say this about art, all art comes from pain.
Absolutely.
So Feed Me Seymour came from my pain at being uncomfortable at being complimented.
Right. That's quite a big adjustment as well, because you're coming from this background. Oh, I heard you also say, right now you're obviously doing a lot of content for the nightclubs, and you said you had never been to a nightclub
before.
I had never
been in a nightclub.
That's insane.
So I had walked by XS Nightclub for 20 years. What was I going to do with XS Nightclub? I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to be like, hello, can I buy you a drink? That didn't work when I was 25.
Right.
It didn't work when I was 30. How the hell is it going to work in Las Vegas where, you know, guys have $100,000 in their pocket, they have beautiful suits, there's, you know, beautiful men everywhere, they have the gift of gab, they know how to talk to women. So what I like about me is I knew I didn't belong in XS Nightclub. So I never even thought about going in XS Nightclub.
Yeah.
And then New Year's came and they invited me and I went down there. And it's such mind fuckery. I wouldn't call it anything else. For the first time you ever go to XS Nightclub, for you to walk up to the line, we know who you are, come in here.
Yeah.
The manager grabbed me and they put me up on the stage with the Chainsmokers. That's my first trip to XS Nightclub.
Yeah.
You have to know, you have to remember, you have to understand, this is important to me. I am absolutely nobody with nothing. Like, I don't have a lot of money. Obviously, I'm not smooth. Obviously, I'm socially, you know, like, whatever. I'm nobody with nothing. So to show up there and for that to happen, and that was right after I had Downtown at the Plaza with Jonathan Jossel, who gave me the table from the movie Casino.
Yeah.
You know, I get emotional because it's crazy. It's such a crazy journey. You know,
It's
life is... You know, I tell Amory's over there sitting there, and I'm like, Amory, can you believe this is going on? I mean, she knows. I'm like, Amory, can you believe this?
Well, it's insane because you went from that background, never having been in a nightclub, you know, being to yourself, a numbers guy. You come to Vegas. You were paying someone else to make your content.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, you realize that people love you way more. And now you don't even have to pay anybody. You know, they're like, you're the man. Everybody knows you. You're Vegas Poly C. You know,
well, whether it's Western.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah, yeah.
Feed me now.
But it's
you're
true.
You're like, doing it right now.
Yeah. But you go to the nightclubs, restaurants, casinos, and everybody knows you, you know? So.
You know what I really like about it?
Yeah.
You know, the other day I did a tour at the Wynn Fairway Villa. So I come in and I do my tour. I show the room on the left. I show the living room. I go out to the balcony. There were three guys there. One of them is a friend of the show, very nice guy. And he gave me access to the Wynn Fairway Villa because he hears me say, oh, Wynn social media doesn't want me because of the dinosaur and this, that, the other thing. And he gave me the tour of the room. But this is the very best part of the whole thing. I do the whole video. I end the video, I go, Vegas Paulie C. And I hear the three guys just laughing their asses off.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing. If I can make people laugh, and I see why comedians give everything, because I can tell you straight out that there is just nothing better in life than making people laugh. Now, full disclosure.
Yeah.
In the beginning of my journey, all the time I was shoving food up my nose. All the time. There's videos. There's a million videos. Oh, here's a funny one. So I'm at the Circa, and the Circa very graciously invited me over there. It was the first hotel that ever invited me. I got them over a million views. They have a gorgeous property. The social media there guy gets it. He's on top of it. He let me stay across the street at the Golden Gate. You don't know, but there's two beautiful suites upstairs at the Golden Gate.
Right.
And they really took care of me. About 3 weeks later, I'm in the show, and someone in the show is saying, and I'm live, and I'm in their sports book. Someone in the show is saying, let me see your feet. Let me see your feet. Let me see your feet. Yeah. Let me see your feet. So now I know that I can make a couple hundred people laugh if I go in the bathroom at the Circa, I pull off my shoe, I pull off my sock, and I basically make love to my toes. Now, I think this is an innocent thing. I mean, right. They were laughing. I left it on YouTube. I wasn't embarrassed about it. It wasn't a sexual thing for me. Right. It was me making funny. People laugh.
Yeah.
But of course, Mr. Irrelevant and the dinosaur got together and they sent that video to the Circa, right? Or somebody sent it to the Circa. I don't know for a fact that it was either one of those people.
Right.
But I do know this. Mr. Irrelevant put it up on his page and said, this is why Vegas Police got banned from the Circa. Now, full disclosure, the Circa saw that and they immediately called me and they said, you're not banned. Yeah. We're embarrassed. We think you're an idiot. We don't really want people making love to their feet in our bathrooms.
Right.
But Vegas Police, you're not banned. And I think they got it taken down. I think they contacted Vegas Police. I think they contacted the guy that put it up, Mr. Irrelevant, who's a very hateful person. Like, what's his career? Tearing people down?
Exactly.
That's your career, is tearing people down?
Yeah. You're
supposed to uplift people. Right. You know what I mean? So they took it down. But now, you know, now I don't have a relationship with the Circa. The dinosaur posted or somebody sent me a post from the dinosaur that said that the business community in Las Vegas is going to find out. The same way that, and I remember the four hotels, Resorts World found out, the Circa found out, the Fontainebleau found out, and the Durango found out that this is a bad guy, and he's here to do bad things.
Right.
Now, feel the hypocrisy of her doing that. I'm not the one running around with the black light inspecting for bed bugs, girlfriend.
Yeah.
All I said about the Durango was that their social media was stupid because I did a video of their casino and they made me take it down.
Yeah.
All I say about the Fontainebleau is that they have, all I say, I'm pretty dramatic about the Fontainebleau. They have no idea what they're doing.
Nah, it's a shambles over there.
It's a guy who came from Miami. He's all tied up and he's all caught up in his narcissism. And he, you know, my advice to him is go back to Miami because he's not taking direction from anybody. He's not listening to anybody. He doesn't love gamblers. I've spoken to people ad nauseum about him. I'm not going to go too far into that one. The Circa, they called them up and said, Vegas Police is not banned.
Right.
And of course, Resorts World hates me. I'm standing in front of their property analyzing their quarterlies every 3 months.
Yeah.
Funny story. They scrubbed their quarterlies and took out all their numbers for their Las Vegas results.
Wow.
They're not there anymore. Why do you think that happened? No ego.
Nah.
I'd say there's at least a 50% chance it's because I'm standing in front of the building laughing at their quarterlies.
Absolutely. What does the wind do so well that other properties don't?
Well, if you stood up right now and I gave you the most loving hug that you ever felt in your entire life, you would understand what it's like when you're a gambler and you go into the wind. You feel enveloped by someone, still, all these years later, Steve Wynn, you feel enveloped by someone who cared. He cared, and he'll tell you, he said this at the time. He cared what the ceiling looked like and how you felt when you looked at the ceiling. He cared that you had the right foliage to look at. He cared enough to build the Parasol Bar, right? And I only discovered this place 2 years ago, and I had been going to the Wynn for 20 years. The man behind the man, shout out to the man behind the man, he showed me this place. There's a terrace on the right side at the Wynn. It's free. You can sit there with a bottle of water at night, and Amory and I have been there many times, and they do a beautiful night show, light show at night, and you can sit there and just relax. What Steve Wynn knew how to do, and I really mean this, and I can run down the strip, and I can tell you every property. Steve Wynn knew one thing. He knew how to give. And I'm going to tell you the secret that a lot of people don't know about gamblers.
Yeah.
When you give to a gambler, most gamblers are poor things. They're broken toys. So when you overgive to a gambler, what does a gambler do?
They're loyal to
you. He gives you his money back.
Yeah.
He says, you know what? They really took care of me, so I really don't mind losing $10,000 or $15,000. Yeah, it sucks, but I had a great time. They gave to me. So the brain chemistry of most gamblers is that of a willing victim. So because they were given to, they feel they need to give back. You can see this sometimes with people. I'm sure there are people you meet. I'm going to give you a perfect example. And I mean, Jose the Taco Guy will give you the shirt off his back.
Yeah,
I consider myself a giver. Jose the Taco Guy blows my doors off.
Yeah,
like,
he's a good guy.
I tell people all the time, you're in the desert and there's 8 ounces of water left. Jose the Taco Guy is going to give you. I'm not telling you this because we're partners here. I'm not telling you this because he's my buddy. I'm not telling you this because I'm both. The guy is just an impulse giver. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an impulse with him.
Yeah.
He'll say, take this, take that. And he was born that way. And that's Jose the Taco Guy. But Steve Wynn knew how to give. And so, because he knew. Now, I can go up and down the strip. I know. You know who knows how to give?
Who?
The South Point. Michael Gawn, Jackie Gawn's son. I think Jackie Gawn is the original. Michael Gawn, I don't know him. I'll probably never meet him. The South Point knows how to give.
Yeah.
$6 breakfast because they're trying to give. You know that breakfast special. $31 on the buffet because they're trying to give. Great blackjack rules because they're trying. They are down there giving, and they're killing it.
Absolutely.
He's probably making $100 million a year in cash flow. You know who doesn't know how to give at all?
Resorts World.
Caesars doesn't. Well, Resorts World is very, they really struggle with giving.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you who doesn't know how to give at all. Caesars doesn't know how to give. $30 for a croissant and a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's insane. Come on.
And I'll run down it, but I'm not going to bore you. But yeah, I know in Vegas who knows how to give, and I know in Vegas who doesn't know how to give.
And why do you think it's ego? The fact that having someone as influential as yourself who not only knows the business side, but knows it from the consumer side because you're on those properties all the time.
Right.
What is it about them that makes them want to stay away from you or not even do something as simple as being like,
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. When you are, first of all, people don't know this about Las Vegas, but casino executives do not make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like the guy that's like supervising the games and has all this responsibility, maybe he makes 70 grand, which is not a lot of money in today's economy. Maybe 80 grand. The person taking care of you, putting it there, maybe they make 70, 80 grand. The executives that, not the vice presidents, but a lot, maybe they make 70, 80 grand. And they have children, and they have health insurance, and they're living the grind, and they're living the struggle. And let's be honest, servicing gamblers all day long, it's got to be so effing annoying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're annoyed that the dealer pulled a 5 on a 16. They're annoyed that the craps came. They're annoyed about all this. So it's not a great job, and it's a lot of work, and you're only making 70 or 80 grand. And now along comes an unknown, dangerous quantity like Vegas policy. Are you really going to risk your health insurance, reporting back to your wife that you got fired? And this is where the dinosaur is really guilty. She's putting this fear into the Las Vegas community of like, then I'm a bad guy. Anne-Marie. Am I a bad guy, Anne-Marie? 25 years. I mean, you know, we've had a relationship for 25 years. This is my ex-girlfriend from 20 years ago. She's still here.
Right.
Right? So I'm not trying to prove to you that I'm not a bad guy. What I want you to do is I want you to look at my career in Las Vegas. I want you to look at my content. I want you to see what's going on here at the taco shop. Talk to my partners. Talk to Jose, the taco guy.
Right.
I mean, he calls me his brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to look at a person's fruits.
Absolutely.
Don't look at the tree. Look at the fruits.
Right.
So I want the Vegas community to watch me over the next 6 months, over the next year, and to see my fruits.
Well, besides the anecdotal evidence, right? What's the old saying? Women lie, men lie. The numbers don't.
The numbers don't lie, right?
And it's very easy to see when you go watch your show, the Vegas Policy Show, that you're not lying,
right?
The properties that you talk about, people can go in there for themselves and experience it for themselves.
They can go in there.
When you look at the numbers, the financial records, you're not lying. So whether or not people want to say you're causing fear or you're saying this or that, it's like...
But getting back to the original thing is...
Yeah.
No one with a job and health insurance and kids and pressure on them is going to say, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to use... Now, that being said...
Isn't that ironic? You work in a casino and you won't take that risk?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. But, you know, people have families.
Yeah, yeah.
But a CEO of the Plaza like Jonathan Jossel,
yeah,
who is totally, totally at the top of his food chain, the top of his pyramid, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He talks to me. He laughs at me.
Right.
I got to tell you a really funny story. This makes me laugh. I'm sitting over there. Jonathan Jossel came down to try the tacos here. The day that the Mr. Irrelevant put up the video of me playing with my toes.
Right.
Okay. And Jonathan Jossel's eating the tacos and he's going, he's English. He's from London.
Yeah, yeah.
Paulie, these are really good tacos. You know, these are really good tacos. He says, what's going on with you and what's going on with you in this video? I said, well, you want to see it? I said, Mr. Irrelevant put it up this morning. And I feel like Jonathan and I have a good enough relationship that let him see the video. If he decides to banish me from his life, so be it.
You're right.
So he's eating his taco. This is how cool Jonathan Jossel is. This guy might probably be mayor of Las Vegas one day.
Yeah, yeah.
He's eating his taco. Never again. He's sitting right over there, and he's watching the video of me playing on my toes. And he looks at me and he goes, "Wow, man, you're really out there, Vegas Paulie C." And I'm just like, "Wow, what a super cool guy."
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of guy who you're like, you know, it's if you make it to the top like he has, and you're also cool and have a personality and are good to people. I mean, isn't that the dream?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not saying I'm jealous of him or that I covet what he has, but wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by him.
It's insane. Yeah. I mean,
if you say to me, who are you a fan of in Las Vegas?
Jonathan.
It's Jonathan. Yeah.
Shout out to Jonathan. Yeah. Hopefully we get to interview him soon.
Yeah.
Where do you like to go in terms of properties when you're gambling? Obviously the Wynn, but what about off the strip?
Well, I love to go to the Plaza because they have the 10 times odds on craps. Mm-hmm. They also, I don't play roulette, but they do have the single zero roulette. But I have to play the 3-2 blackjack.
Right.
So wherever they have the 3-2 blackjack, I'll play it. You know, you can play 3-2 blackjack at the Circa. You can play it at the Plaza. You can play it at the Stratosphere. Wherever they have 3-2 blackjack, I can't play blackjack. That's 6-5. It feels like I'm just getting robbed.
Yeah.
You know, you get blackjack 4 times an hour. So whatever your amount is, you're losing 4 times that. So if you're playing $10 blackjack, you're losing $12 an hour because you're losing $3 4 times.
Absolutely.
$12.
There you go.
Why would you deal with that?
Yeah, it makes no sense. But why do you think properties do that? They're just trying to skim as much money as
possible. Well, I heard, this is an article that I read, yeah. And I actually back-proofed these numbers.
Is that the Venetian?
The Venetian. Right. That's $31 million a year in their pocket. So what I did was I said to myself, okay, it's 1.39% for the house when they give you 6-5.
Right.
It turns out that 5 tables, and I'm a little loose on this math, but I could show it to you on paper. 5 tables with 4 or 5 players at $50 a hand, and I only use 5 tables because, let's face it, in the middle of the night, there's not that many tables right. running, but there's way more during the day, so I used 5. 5 tables running perpetually, playing blackjack at 6-5, with $50 to $100 average bets. I think I use 50 as the number. If you back it out on paper, it comes to about $30 million. Like, I use the number to then prove out the action.
Right.
So I don't know whether that number is true or not.
But it's a reasonable
assumption.
It's
plausible.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's plausible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's no small margin, $30 million.
No, $31 million. You're not going to give that up anytime soon.
Absolutely not. And what are your hobbies outside of gambling? Obviously, now you're part owner of a taco shop.
Right.
Outside of that, what does Polly enjoy
doing? I love long distance walking. You know, sometimes I've walked as much as 11 miles to Siegel's Bagel Mania.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why I love Steve Siegel.
Yeah.
Again, it's a guy who came to the sound. I heard this, so I don't know this for a fact, and I don't know him well. He shook my hand a couple of times. I heard he came here with nothing. And wow. Now he's buying 10 acres on the strip for $75 million. And if you read the article, the reason they sold it to Steve Siegel is because he paid cash for it. So this guy's got $75 million.
Laying around.
Now, he recently bought something for $11 million right on Fremont Street. And he says, I'm going to hold it a long time. You know what the interest is on $11 million? Yeah. And he's going to hold it a long time. So there's a guy who has built, and I heard I read about him. He just opened his 149th Siegel Suites. It's in Louisiana. Mm. The guy's younger than me. He's probably 50 years old. And he's got 149 of these Siegel Suites. It's like, wow. It's impressive. You know, I'm looking at someone who is just amazing. You know, it's just like, you know, and it's funny. And again, I don't know Tao Group, and I don't know the leader of the Tao Group, but there were 4 guys that went together to the Super Bowl because I saw it on someone's Instagram.
Yeah.
Jonathan Jossel, the guy that runs Tao Group, and I don't know his name, but I have spoken to him quickly a couple of times. Steve Siegel, and the guy that owns the actual company that owns the Plaza. They all went to the Super Bowl together.
Okay,
and I'm like, wow, you know, realizing that 2 people who I'm huge fans of, which would be Steve and Jonathan, the fact that they're like buddies, like
it's like Avengers.
It kind of makes mathematical sense to me. It's because like I'm cavelling when I see these guys,
right.
and that turns out they're, and I didn't know they were friends. I had no idea. And then seeing them at the Super Bowl together, I was like, okay, I get it.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
What was the timeline of you meeting Jose the Taco Guy?
Okay.
Until you opened and decided to like,
well,
go into business
together.
This
is a great story. Nobody would believe this. And again, I say, look at my fruits. So Jose the Taco Guy contacts me. And yeah. I know who he is. He's a walker. I'm a walker. And I see he's got 160,000 followers. So I know he's got something good, right?
Right.
It turns out he's got a great personality. And turns out he's a total giver. But I don't know that. I just know his numbers. I'm not going to tell you that I knew that he was a great guy. I'm not going to tell you that I knew that he was incredibly funny or had a comedic ability. I mean, have you seen the Trump videos that he does?
Yeah, it's funny.
Or that he could write for Saturday Night Live. And I didn't know that he was super smart. I didn't know anything. Because I'm a cheap sellout for the numbers, right? Here's a guy with 160,000 followers. He contacted me. Of course, I run down to meet him. So I run down to meet him on the strip. He's eating tacos. I'm eating tacos. I'm like, what do you do? He's like, I drive for Uber. I'm like, you have 160,000 followers. You're driving for Uber. He's like, you know how it is, Vegas boy. See, I don't take money from anybody. I'm like, I don't take money from anybody either.
Right.
So he doesn't take money from anybody. I don't take money from anybody. I said, let's buy a truck. The next day, he'll tell you this story. The next day, I bought a Tahoe. I put down $25,000. I was on this huge winning streak in the casino, so it was easy at the time. And I took an $80,000 loan, and we bought this Tahoe, and then we found out about all the rules and regulations, and it was a disaster. So we drove around in the Tahoe at night, and, it's kind of embarrassing to be 59 years old. Well, I was 58 at the time. He's only 40, so he's still a relatively young man. It's kind of embarrassing to be driving around like teenagers, like, what should we do with our lives? We're not really doing much with our lives. We're both kind of like not doing it, whatever. But he's a very religious man. And I felt the presence of the Lord with him. I could feel it with him. I'm not saying that I walk like that. I don't. I'm a terrible sinner. But I felt it from him. And I knew that, whatever you want to call it, God, Jesus, whatever you want to call it, the universe, I felt that we could make something happen as two people who were on the same page, who were, who had the same sort of spirituality. Of course, listen, the guy's a way better person than me. I swear to you, he is. But I knew that something would manifest. And we had been driving around, so we got the car August, September, October, November, December. So we had been driving around for 4 or 5 months, and he was hurting. And I wouldn't take it back. I could not take this Tahoe back from him, because in my heart, I don't. Now I'm like, I'm talking like a Southern preacher.
Accent, yeah.
In my heart, I just felt like it was his, and the pain of me taking it back from him. And I had attached myself to him, and the pain of separating from him, it would have broke up my heart, And so I kept making the payments, and they were $1,800 a month.
Oh, shit.
And it hurt like an MF-er.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I have these tacos. They're unbelievable. And I come and try them. And I said, you know what? You believe in this guy? And shout out to this guy. There's a guy that owns this place. He owned this place. His name's Ricardo. Mm-hmm. And I'm positive that he's the only guy in Las Vegas that would have done for us what he did as a business owner. When I tell you that we came in here and Ricardo, I mean, God bless Ricardo. I wish him like all the success. He's a successful businessman. I tell him when I see him, like, Ricardo, man, I really respect you. I really respect this guy. He made it so easy for us to get open here. You have no idea. This guy was like your mom and your dad would not have been as good to you as Ricardo was.
Wow.
He got us, I swear to you, I'm not making this stuff up.
Yeah.
He got us open in like 10 days, 11 days. He was like, just do this, just do that. And that's when I kind of realized, because I'm so self-absorbed, because let's face it, this is extremely narcissistic, the whole influencer thing. I got to do content, I got to get my views. You become so self-absorbed. And that's when I realized, holy shit, Jose the taco guy is smart too?
Yeah.
Because he's like absorbing all this shit from Ricardo, and he like did all the paperwork, and I'm like, wow, I'm blessed. I'm like, not only is he a giver, but he's smart. And then like the last couple of months, I found out he had this incredible sense of humor, because even though he was a fun guy, I never saw his writing skills.
Right, yeah.
And I never was real. So here's a guy who's a triple threat, all right? So he's got this great personality. He's a giver. He's smart as can be, and he's funny as can be. But now think about this. This is really a life lesson. Because he is so compulsively a giver, and so compulsively kind, and so compulsively concerned about the other person, here he is at 40, driving for Uber with no real career.
Exactly.
In other words, his compulsive kindness, his compulsive, now I know he walks with the Lord. but his compulsive joy with the Lord, his compulsive need to take care of everybody else other than himself. He was 40 and really, it didn't have it going on. Imagine that. It now imagine him. Imagine if he was ruthless.
Yeah.
Imagine if he was a jerk. Imagine if he was power hungry. Imagine if he was a bad person. He'd probably be a multimillionaire.
He'd own Resorts World right now.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So he has all the talents, but because he has so much, it's actually oxytocin. It's a chemical. Yeah, it's the love hormone. Because he's dripping of oxytocin, it's holding him back. And we would talk about this.
Wow.
And he would feel better, you know? And wow, what a journey we've had together.
That's insane. That'd be a good buddy film.
Yeah, he thinks there's something in this, but... And this is all just the truth.
No, yeah, absolutely.
So when I meet MFers who are low oxytocin, no names, but I think you're going to go extinct. When I meet people with no oxytocin and talent, it triggers me.
Yeah.
And I apologize for that.
Well, I think that...
They have nothing to give.
Yeah. Well, there's something interesting there because, like you said, you were making the payments. He almost became like your dopamine because he was such a good guy.
Okay,
he was such a good friend, you know?
Okay, I got to tell this story.
Yeah.
Wow. So when I'm 5, 6, 7 years old, my birthday is on December 4th and Christmas is on December 25th. Now, I'm a 5-year-old and my parents are absent. I'm pretty much feral, okay? I'm 6 years old. My parents are absent. I'm feral. So I'm just doing whatever the hell I want. I'll be honest with you. My birthday would come. My relatives on my mother's side, they had a decent amount of money. So $40, $50 total was a lot of money in 1970, 1971, 1969. I would get my birthday money on December 4th, $40 to $50. And December 25th would come and I would buy presents for everybody in the family. I would spend my entire birthday money on Christmas for them.
Wow.
Not because I'm a good guy, right? I'm 5 years old. I'm not moral. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm doing whatever I got to do. I'm doing it because it turns out that there is dopamine in giving.
Absolutely.
There is dopamine in service. And I only know this because Tom Arnold, who was married to Roseanne Barr, I think they're divorced now, suffers from terrible depression because he's a comedian. He obviously has a dopamine deficiency. I hope he's still alive. I think he is. I watched him on a talk show say that acts of service are the only thing that saves him from basically committing suicide.
Yeah.
And so again, I go back to, if you see a child doing something weird, my parents didn't notice, right? But that's a weird thing for a kid to do. That's a strange kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not because I'm good. It's because it was a drug for me. So me making the payments on the Tahoe and dealing with that situation, it was an act of service that I was getting something out of. I know that now at 58, 59, as a child I didn't. But it all goes back to this entire conversation that I'm having with you. In fact, you're getting a lot of old man knowledge here.
This is definitely a lot of knowledge.
Yeah,
I'm soaking it all in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what is your opinion? You're obviously from New York. You came to Vegas. Obviously, Vegas has taken a very good liking to you, so we've adopted you as one of our own. But what is your opinion on Vegas culture, like the culture of the city compared to other cities, maybe Atlantic City, New York?
Okay, so when I in 2017, I think it was, when they legalized marijuana, or 2018, I said to myself, fantastic, now I'm going to be able to go get marijuana around the corner in Vegas, whatever. And I went to a dispensary in Laughlin, and I went in, and I looked around the room, and, you know, we were just all so broken. And, you know, that's the thing about Vegas is that there's a lot of broken people here. You know, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And, you know, in the beginning of the show, I haven't said this on the show in a while. You know, I go back and forth between, you know, crying and laughing because I'm out of my mind. You know, we're all broken toys. There's a lot of broken toys on my show. I'm a broken toy. And I was telling somebody this the other day. Most of the states that legalized marijuana, they said, oh, we're going to sell $1 billion a year in marijuana. But maybe they only sold 600 million. Like they sold 60% of projections, 70% of projections. Nevada was one of the few states where they grossly underestimated the demand. They said, well, we'll probably sell 300 million. They sold 600 million, whatever it was. It was double or triple, or it was a way bigger number than they thought. Because the politicians in Nevada don't realize that it's a state full of broken toys. You know, I'm here because I'm a broken toy. I met so many people that are here because they're broken toys. Because when we walk down the strip, we're getting our medicine. You know, when we go to the dopamine creating shows, the food. You know, there's like five ways to go down the toilet in Las Vegas. There's the greeters, which is my euphemism for the girls, you know. There's the food, there's the gambling, there's the alcohol, and there's the drugs. Maybe there's other ways. So if you come here and you're a broken toy, you're managing some variation of those five things. Like, I'm definitely managing the food. I don't have to manage the girls because I'm in a monog, you know, I'm in a monogamous relationship. I call it a monogamous relationship. I have to totally manage the gambling. The drinking, a mezzamez, you know, like, I'm okay with it. And no drugs. I got off the marijuana. No drugs. I'm off the marijuana. So I'm managing like 2 1/4 of those things. The food, the gambling, and 1/4 of...
the alcohol.
Of the alcohol. I'm at 2 1/4. So I would say if you're coming to Vegas, think about those five things and do an honest self-assessment. If you're lighting up like 4 or 5 of those...
don't come here.
Don't come here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm having a rough time with 2 1/4. I am.
Right.
I gained 14 pounds when I came. I'm losing it now, but... and by the way, you're really helping me because all this talking, it burns calories.
It's good. It's good. But we're going to eat after.
Okay. So yeah, I hope
we'll put it back on.
Okay.
But in terms of, you know, now you're off the strip because you're here getting interact with people that are like Las Vegas locals as
right.
opposed to just gamblers who come on gambling trips and then go
right.
back home. What has that difference been like?
Well, I think, and you know, this kind of goes back to the F1 story. You know, a lot of the locals with the F1 were annoyed because they're hardworking people.
Right.
You know, the F1 guy, he's a big, famous British guy. He interviewed me in front of the Bellagio. And I said, look. And now it's really in the press. Like, I feel like the Nevada Independent, it's a great paper to read because I feel like they give a really great, unbiased view of everything that goes on in Vegas from the top to the bottom. And I read an article yesterday about it. And this is what I said a year ago, and the Nevada Independent knows this. The F1 it's an unfair event because it really falls on the shoulder of the working people, and the beneficiaries are basically the Wynn, the Bellagio, and you know, the super high-end properties.
Right.
And so all these people are suffering through all this traffic, and a lot of small businesses are destroyed by F1.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not giving you my opinion on F1. I'm telling you what the feeling is. You know, now the Nevada Independent, they wrote the opinion piece yesterday. I've talked about it. So the F1 is an example of how the working people in Las Vegas are going to suffer. Again, they're going to go through the traffic and the this and the that. But what people don't know about Las Vegas, because you come here and you fly in and you land on the strip, and people are serving you from the minute you get here.
Absolutely.
They're cleaning your room. You know, is there a harder job in the world? And this, look, I don't have an agenda here, what I'm about to tell you. This is an organic feeling. What's like one of the hardest jobs in Las Vegas is a housekeeper.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you got a woman running around with a black light who's talking about bed bugs. So she's basically
undermining these people's jobs.
She's basically attacking the hardest working people. And I'm not, listen, please. I am not virtue signaling. I am not projecting goodness. I am a sinner. I'm in a lot of ways, I'm a selfish person. You know, Anne-Marie will tell you, I'm a compulsive gambler. So please, there's no moralistic activity going on here. This is just math.
Yeah.
Here's a person with a lot of power, with a black light, right? Going into rooms, and who is she really attacking at the end of the day? The woman who's cleaning the room, who maybe, okay, I'm gonna get a little dramatic. Can I get a little dramatic?
Sell it, yeah.
The woman who just came here from Mexico, who got a job cleaning a room at the Oya, or at wherever, you know? Today she posted something about the D being a disgusting hotel. So that's who's getting yelled at. How could you not see that there's a stain on that wall? And this woman is like, well, I had to clean 19 rooms today.
Right.
And that's why, and I'm not, I hope you know me well enough to know that this is not a moral crusade.
No, absolutely.
I just hate this shit.
Yeah.
Does it move you on any level?
No, absolutely. Especially as a Vegas local who has family, who has worked those jobs, it's a little bit, it's crazy.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's effing obnoxious.
Absolutely.
You know, if you think about who I'm attacking, who am I attacking? The stockholders, the billionaire, you know, whatever. I'm talking about the financials.
Yeah.
I'm going after the Wall Street guys.
Top of the food chain,
top
guys.
Top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Leave the bottom of the food chain alone, man.
Yeah.
Please.
Is there anywhere you haven't been that you really want to go?
In Vegas?
In Vegas.
Yeah, I want to see... the Wynn promised me that they would show me Steve Wynn's suite.
Yeah.
And then the dinosaur did something, and then I don't have access to Steve Wynn's suite, and I make fun of them about it. I think it's outrageous that I see Pomsey, who's another content creator, running around in all of these high-end suites,
Yeah. You
know, getting access to these places, and I'm not. Hey, social media. These are the fruits. Turn around. Look at the fruits. Look at the fruits of Vegas Pauly C, okay? Oh, yeah. Why are you denying me access to these rooms? So you ask me what I'm not getting? I'm not getting access to any suites anywhere. The Venetian Palazzo, I'm a player there. And I beg them to see the presidential suite. Someone from the show showed it to me.
Yeah.
I'm a player at the Wynn. I was there today. I almost lost some money over there. Thank God I broke even. And I'm begging them to see a villa. No. You know what I mean? You know, I can't say this about this. Oh, so another person that's great with me is the Strat. They showed me all their rooms. Skylar Dice, shout out to Skylar Dice. He gets it.
Yeah.
You know, he's provided a lot of content for me. I'm going to do PTs on Friday at 6 o'clock. So there's a couple of people who get it because they're at the top of the food chain, like Skylar Dice and like Jonathan Jossel. But all of these hotels, what are you afraid of? What do you think I'm going to do? You're doing me a favor. You're going to show me the best room in your hotel. Of course I'm going to do a mitzvah. It's a Yiddish word for a good deed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be happy that I'm there. I'm going to be hopped up. So when you ask me, I know that was a roundabout pontification. But when you ask me the place that I'm not going that I want to go, I want to go to the mansions. I want to see the mansions. I want to see the best suites at Red Rock and at Green Valley and wherever. I want to see Steve Wynn's suite. And it's like, hello, hello. Is there something wrong with you social media people? You know, yes, yes. I played with my toes at the Circa. You know, I'm so sorry. It was such a terrible thing. I was trying to make people laugh. Anne-Marie Shushaman, trying to make people laugh, you know, but...
No, I think... But
can I say one more thing?
Absolutely, go ahead.
It's really effing galling.
Yeah.
When you come from a place of innocence, not 100% of the time. You know, I could be a schmuck. I could be a jerk. Let's be honest. But when you really come from a place of innocence and you just want to see some beautiful hotel rooms and no one will show them to you.
Yeah. But I think the thing that they don't realize is that traditional... boring, bland content.
Well, okay.
It's over.
That's a great conversation.
It's over.
How many followers do you think the Fontainebleau has on their TikTok?
10,000. 2,700. Oh, wow. I thought 10,000 was lowballing.
2,700.
Wow.
So obviously, they need help.
Yeah.
It's funny because there's this guy that I know in Las Vegas, and I love him. His name is Griff, and I've had him on the show several times. He's a very flamboyant young guy.
Yeah.
And I saw him make a comment in the Fontainebleau the other day. I saw him make a comment. Let me manage your social media. You've got 2,700 followers. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, be real, be funny, be original. You know, the other day I did a $2 shrimp cocktail versus a $34 shrimp cocktail at Circus Circus. It got to Circus Circus Steakhouse, 100,000 views. I'm a believer in Circus Circus. Why am I a believer in Circus Circus? Because I was in there 3 years ago, and the place was the biggest dump in the world, right? And I didn't even want to show it.
Right.
There were beer bottles on the floor. It smelled bad. And now I'm in there, and the place is mobbed. They've cleaned up the rooms. The steakhouse is fantastic. I love the underdog. I love a cleanup.
Turnaround story.
I love to see Fremont Street going further east.
Yeah.
You know? I love to see, like, Ferguson's. In fact, we tried to go to Ferguson's coffee shop. You know, shout out to Ferguson's Coffee Shop. I was going to do a video there. I got to do a video there. It's a great place to have coffee, but it's in an area of Las Vegas that you probably felt like you were taking your life in your hands 20 years ago. And that's the story with the Plaza and the Plaza owners. They bought in 2005 when this town was down on its luck, downtown.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
And Tony Hsieh,
mm-hmm.
You know, God rest his soul. The poor guy, I mean, he created downtown. He brought down Steven Siegel, uplifter. Jonathan Jossel, uplifter. You know, the executives, Michael Gorn, uplifter. Derek Stevens, who probably, I never met him. And I'm sure he wants nothing to do with me because I jerked off my toes in his bathroom, right? But I give him all the credit in the world because the guy borrowed, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars. He put up the circuit. He, you know, people don't know. There's so many special things. If you go in the Golden Gate and you go around the corner and you go by the High Limit Pit, there's a fountain in there from 1909. It's the original water fountain.
Wow.
From Las Vegas. He went in his pocket. Derek Stevens went in his pocket. And I don't know whether it cost him $8,000 or $15,000, but it cost him something in those numbers, right? To save that water fountain from 1909. He don't make a big stinkiola about it. I'm a good guy. I saved the water fountain from 1909. But it's there for all of us to enjoy. Someone turned me on to it. And there it is. That, and then also at the Golden Gate, people don't know it. And I know it because I stayed there. There's two of the most beautiful suites you've ever seen upstairs at the Golden Gate. I will tell you conclusively that nobody other than a Derek Stevens type of person would have taken the $6 or $8 million that it probably took to create those two beautiful suites at the Golden Gate that he's probably not even monetizing because no one even knows they're there, right? Nobody would have taken the money to save the Golden Gate. Nobody would have taken the money to, if you go in the Golden Gate now, place is booming.
Yeah, absolutely.
3-2 blackjack, 10 times odds. Every table was full the other night. These are the people that, and this is another point I want to make. I don't care if people don't want anything to do with me if they're great people. So if Derek Stevens doesn't want anything to do with me because of that whole toes thing or whatever, Derek, you're doing an unbelievable job. I understand the toes thing. If Michael Gorn decided, I don't know Michael Gorn, I don't know anything about this, but if Michael Gorn said to himself, I don't want anything to do with Vegas Pauly C because Vegas Pauly C. Because I don't like the fact that he's an idiot or whatever. I saw him shove food up his nose a year and a half. Michael Gorn, he's still my hero. You know,
right.
If Jonathan Jossel decides tomorrow that he doesn't want anything to do with me, he's still a great man. If Steven Siegel doesn't want me in Bagel Mania, in other words, let's look at the fruits. Let's look at the fruits of Steven Siegel. Let's look at the fruits of Jonathan Jossel. Let's look at the fruits of Derek Stevens. Let's look at the fruits of Michael Gorn. When you look at their fruits, I'm getting biblical here. I think Jose the Taco Guy's getting to me. Stop it. When you look at the fruits of these people, these great people in Las Vegas, and they're not touting their own. You know, they're just doing it.
Right.
They're just doing it. And I'm sure I missed somebody, but they're doing it. God, you know, I mean, I get crazy with this stuff.
No, absolutely. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and those are the people that they're more relatable. They're almost, you would say, the misfits, right? They're the underdog, they're the fighters,
right.
The comeback stories, and I think that's what people love because that's what gamblers are. You know, that's what the most of the people who go to those properties are people that identify with those kinds of people.
Well, I mean, Derek's a big sports gambler, right?
Yeah.
So he's down there and he's got his took us on the line, you know? And the other thing about that I love about like a guy like Derek is he's creative. Like he created that survival thing. They don't even take any money out of it. It's like a $9 million prize. He's got two contests, a $9 million contest and a $7 million contest. So he's creative. He's driving traffic. He's not even making money. If Caesars was doing that $9 million survival thing, they'd be taking $1 million out of it,
absolutely.
Right? He doesn't even take anything out of it.
Wow.
Jonathan Jossel. People don't know this. I found out only the last couple of months. He has something called the Dinner Series with Oscar Goodman. I don't know whether you know about it or not.
I heard about it, yeah.
Wow. Oscar Goodman is a living legend.
Yeah.
He's 84 years old. His mind is still sharp as can be. He sits there every 6 weeks and he talks. I hope Jonathan Jossel is recording all those Dinner Series shows with Oscar Goodman. But the point is, we have a living legend in our town. We have Oscar Goodman. And Jonathan Jossel, who's a powerful man, is not worried about 6-5 blackjack. He's not worried about charging you $30 for a croissant and coffee. He's doing Dinner Series with Oscar Goodman and letting us all experience that history and that greatness. This is greatness. So these are great people. You know, these are people that, you know, I'm a compulsive gambler, so, you know, there's limits to what I can do, what I can't do. But think about what he's doing down there, that Dinner Series with Oscar. And I recommend anyone, if you can get a ticket to that, spend the money and get a ticket to that, because Oscar Goodman, he was in the movie Casino.
Yeah.
And he was Tony the Anspilatro's lawyer. Yeah. And he's still walking around.
Yeah.
So we have a person in our town. Look at how I think I'm from Las Vegas. I know I'm a New Yorker. Please don't call me out. But there's a person in your town, in this town, in the town that belongs to the people, who's a living icon that you can go and you can hear him talk. Now, this is the God's honest truth, and Amory knows this. When I got invited to the dinner series with Oscar, I thought to myself, oy vey, this is going to be boring. I couldn't have been more wrong.
Really?
He's that great. He's that funny. He's that quick. He's telling stories about Las Vegas that you didn't know happened. He told a whole story about the sheriff and what went on with the sheriff 30 years ago. And wow. Wow.
I want to meet him because he's been the mayor.
We have to get Jonathan to invite you to dinner series with us.
Let's do it. As I remember, I'm from Las Vegas.
Right.
I remember being in elementary school, like 6, 7 years old, and he would come to our elementary school to do a reading. He would read a book.
Now, look at that.
Exactly.
Look at what a mensch this guy is. Yeah. Here's a guy. I don't even know how great he is. Yeah. Like, I sense that he's great, and I listen to him, and I'm entertained, and I'm amazed, and I'm blown away by Oscar Goodman. And then you tell me that you were 7 years old and Oscar Goodman came to your school and read a book to you.
Yeah.
This is the guys in the movies.
Yeah, exactly. It's insane.
So I aspire to be better. Yeah. You know, it inspires. Maybe I got a few years left. Maybe I could be better. Yeah. You know?
Both of us.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Wow.
What about outside of Vegas? Would we ever see Pauly C in Macau?
You know, there's a French casino group called Partouche that just keeps talking to me. But it's like, I'm not going to get on a plane. First of all, I don't have the money. You know, well, that's such a lie. Because I could blow $10,000 going to France instead of blowing $10,000 on the craps table. But I can't get on a plane and go to France. And, you know, if Partouche wants me, then Partouche, you know, supposedly the owner of Partouche in France, they have 43 casinos. Supposedly he loves the Vegas Pauly C show. He got on the phone with me. He's an elderly gentleman. He's a billionaire. If Partouche wants me, send the plane.
Send the plane.
That's going to give me all kinds of content. You know, if Macau wants me, send the plane. You know, I'm not delusional. I only have 600,000 followers.
Only.
Well, but if I had 16 million, they'd send the plane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to get the plane with 600,000. You know, I got the Lambo today, though.
There you go.
The Lambo.
Step up, yeah.
Step up. You know, the Lambo is the first step towards the plane, right?
So, how was the Lambo?
Oh, my God.
Fun to drive?
I totally understand why rich dudes drive around
dopamine
in that car.
Hit, right?
Dude, and not only that, it makes you feel like, you know, it makes you
star.
Feel like
the
man,
the guy,
you know,
yeah,
the man,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know. Definitely. I mean, Amory loved it, and she's a very humble person. So we loved it. Shout out to Amory. What was the name of that company they gave it to us? LVC Exotics. Shout out to LVC Exotics. They're right across the street from Resorts World.
Yeah. So right where the tacos are, right?
Right where the tacos are, right?
Yeah, I always see them over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of money. Like, I had hoped that they would say, we'll do something with Vegas. I should circle back to them. They should do a Vegas Pauly C discount.
Yeah.
A couple $100 off, you know. I don't know what their costs are. But companies like that spend a lot of money on traditional advertising, and I feel that it's not appropriately spent.
No, absolutely not. So, well, I think most traditional advertising doesn't make sense for businesses anymore.
I don't think it does. Yeah. Like, you see these billboards up by the airport. What are
Nobody
they doing?
Nobody cares, yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. What's in store?
You know, you're very good at what you do.
I appreciate it.
This guy's very good at what he does, isn't he? He asks great questions. You're very good. Go ahead.
I appreciate it. What is in store for Vegas Pauly C and the Vegas Pauly C show, you know, the next year?
Well, I love doing like stuff like right outside of town. So we have a couple of, like, you know, things where we're going to go on a little bit of a road trip here, see some more, you know, natural beauty. I really enjoy that. I got really lucky with Death Valley. It filled up with water. And when I saw that Death Valley had water in it, I said, Mahi, we got to go up to Death Valley. It's got water in it. And it's my number one video.
You drank the water there, right?
Not that one. The first one where I said, and this is Death Valley Beach. This is a relatively rare event. It got 12 million views.
Yeah.
It got 6 million views on TikTok and 6 million views on Instagram.
Wow.
And I feel so blessed. And then I also, because I'm the kind of guy that if something is unbelievable once, I call it double dipping. Of course, I had to walk into the middle of the lake, and that got over 1 million views. Tasting the Water didn't get as many views as I thought it was going to get. It got a couple hundred thousand, whatever, but it was a fun, I made people laugh.
There you go.
I made people laugh. And I did two trips to the Death Valley Lake, and I worked it good. And now I can only hope that it fills up again next year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, those are the moments that people remember. It's like I always say creating content is like sitcoms back in the day.
Right.
You recognize the characters and you recognize the iconic moments. It's like, oh, remember when Pauly C, you know, pulled his toes out at the
circa. Well, that one didn't go always okay.
Or, you know, drinking water in Death Valley.
Well, let me tell you about the water. So I brought a glass because I did want to taste it. And I put the glass in the lake and I tasted it. My God. Like, the saltiest salty salt. Like, it was water, but it was salt.
Yeah.
It was like I put, 19 tablespoons of salt in my mouth.
Wow.
It didn't even taste like water.
Just salt.
It was just salt. I was like, it was mind-blowingly salty. I didn't know it was going to be like that. I thought it was going to be like, you know, like when you gargle with salt water.
Yeah.
No, it was the saltiest thing I've ever tasted in my life. But I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
It was a great moment.
Yeah, it was.
People laugh. If you can make people laugh, I tell you it's the greatest joy.
I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Well, those are really all the questions I had for you, but is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we close out the show?
Just that I'm extremely grateful for my journey. I'm sorry for all the controversy with the dinosaur, but, you know, I'm triggered by someone trying to assassinate my character.
Absolutely.
You know, you're on the run podcast. I can see that you're a nice guy. You're on the grind. You're building. If tomorrow someone assassinates your character because you didn't tell the Mohegan Sun about your app, you know what I mean? Because you were embarrassed. In other words, you hid something because you were embarrassed, and now your character is going to get assassinated for the next X number of years. I think you'd be triggered too.
Yeah, definitely.
And I tell the story exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I rage texted her afterwards, and of course she puts that up on the internet. So when your character, again, I'm going to repeat this again because it's extremely important to me. It's very painful. When your character is getting assassinated, you're triggered.
Absolutely.
Look at the fruits. Oh, you made it over here. You look good. I was talking about you earlier. I hope you see it. I had some Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why we wanted to bring you on, just because I know that, you know, especially in your line of work doing media, having rumors and things said about you.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
You know, being called a stalker,
insinuating
that I'm physically violent, telling the lie that you need to get a gun. It's just, I'm sorry, I got to wipe my nose. It's just so not fair.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm a nerd. Like, I don't know how to fight. I've never shot a gun in my life. Although I got invited to shoot a gun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
By the people out in the desert. So I will be shooting a gun next week. Full disclosure. But I've never had a gun. I've never touched a gun. I've never thought about packing heat. I've never thought about stuff like that.
Right.
So for someone to say that they're afraid for their physical safety. Come on, girlfriend. You know, you're chomping up the charges against the old Vegas Pauly C. And it's triggering.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, somebody said to me that I met a couple weeks ago, they said, oh, you know what? You're not a stalker. Like, come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm a stalker. Hide your kids, hide your wife. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. I love that guy.
That's a good song.
You remember that song?
Yeah.
I actually bought that song on Apple. I have it in here.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. Vegas Boy C's coming to town.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But hopefully we were able to dispel some of those rumors.
Well, thank you.
And hopefully, you know, all goes well. We'll be rooting for you over here at On The Run Podcast.
You gave me the best opportunity to be myself. And I think you're really good at this. And I would say that giving someone the opportunity to be themselves and to tell their story is a real gift. And so you gave me a real gift here. You gave me a real gift here tonight.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's what we like to focus on here. You know, I know a lot of podcasts, they do business, they do food, they do entertainment.
Yeah.
I like telling people stories. I like showing people's true personalities.
I see you going a long way. I hope that this grows and grows and grows for
you. Thank you.
And that you get an incredibly amazing guest on here.
Thank you.
And I'll tell Jonathan about you, and hopefully you get Jonathan on. And
I appreciate it.
Anybody else I know, really.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, guys. Go ahead and give them your socials if they don't know. I'm sure everybody who's going to watch this
knows
you.
Okay, so I'm Comp Wallet. I don't know why. I can't emotionally let go of the Comp Wallet app. I'm Comp Wallet on TikTok?
Yeah.
Instagram?
Casino
what
comp
am
wallet.
I don't even know what I am.
Casino comp wallet.
Casino comp wallet. Yeah. On Instagram, and then I'm Vegas Police, your comp wallet on TikTok. You see my attention to details? Yeah, yeah. That's so good. But follow El Güero's Tacos, of course, because that's what we're all about here. And my brother, Jose the Taco Guy, and his friend, and my friend now, Baby Khaled. Baby Khaled! Thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you, Pauly.
Okay.
Guys, come check out Tacos El Güero, 4440 East Washington. Thank you to Jose, the taco guy, Baby Khaled, for making this happen. Thank you, Pauly C, for
thank
the
you.
Opportunity
thank
to interview you. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see y'all next week.
Should I do the episode. Sign off? I gotta do the sign off.
Let's do the sign off.
Vegas Pauly C.
There you go.
Thank you,
Pauly.
That was great. That's the best podcast I ever did.